Here on this this morning in Kansas City when you could be doing something else. Many things that is offered out there, but today you have said, I'm going to use my faith and I'm going to worship my God, or I'm going to learn about God. And I appreciate you being here, our own members, and if you're visiting with us, I really appreciate your attendance today. If you don't know who God is, we'd love to sit down with you and just simply talk about the Word of God. God has blessed us with who He is. He's blessed us with His mind revealed in His truth, the Bible. How beautiful it is to sit down with the Bible and to see what God has to say about Himself, but also about myself, about you, and what God would like for us to be doing to obey Him and to put on that hope of eternal life. Wouldn't it be great not to be afraid to die? You can get there. If you're afraid to die, let's sit down and talk about the Word of God and the hope that you can have of eternal life. This morning I would like for us to kind of delve into the idea of one another, a God-defined one another. I don't know if you've ever done a study of the one another passages, but there are many. I would like for us to go through those passages, and we're going to bracket them so that we can kind of organize our thoughts. But this is a very critical and a very important thing for us to do. Number one, it's important for disciples, of course, to learn how to treat each other. What does God want me to do as a brother or sister in Jesus Christ? But right now we're looking at something else also. And that is the idea of trying to perhaps install an eldership or to do the things that God would install an eldership in this church. And so we are kind of in the beginnings of those proceedings. And I think one of the important things that I need to do is to present what the Scripture says, what Christians should be doing for one another, because really, what is it that a shepherd does? What does an elder do? Really, so much of his job comes down to what he does with one another, what he is doing. He's to be faithful to his Lord. We realize that. Yes, he's to be connected, trying to teach Jesus to whomever he can. But he's also one who has some very serious responsibilities to what's going on in the church, to every individual. And so today I would like for us to think about what we all need to be thinking about. But maybe you are thinking about, you know, maybe I'd like to be an elder. And maybe you're thinking, you know, maybe it's time for me to become an elder. I hope that you'll think about the things that we have to talk about. And I hope that you'll be very honest with yourself. Well, this is going to be part one. We're going to have two or three sermons on this. But I'd like to encourage you to be very honest with yourself and maybe to understand that God is not looking for a few good men. God is not looking for a nice guy to become an elder. He's not looking for a faithful churchgoer to be an elder. What God is looking for is someone who is a leader and someone who's already invested himself in the church of God, someone who's already doing the things that we should be doing one for another, and thus to promote that individual to become a leader as an elder in the church, to help the church do those things and to practice other things in the midst of that circumstance. But I would like to encourage you that if you really, after we think about these things over the next few weeks, you come to say, you know, I'm really not there yet, the things that God presents, I would really appreciate you saying, I'm not there yet. I'm not ready. And maybe I need to wait another year or 2 years, or maybe I need to grow. Maybe I need to get involved in the things of God, in the church, and then kind of mold myself with the help of God to get into this situation where I can become a leader as an elder. But I would like to invite you to be very honest with yourself. And if somebody says, you know, I think you'd make a great elder, if you're just a nice, good churchgoer, but you're not involved in the church, please say, I really appreciate that, but I'm not ready, and I should not be an elder yet. Okay? Let's be very frank with each other, and let's be very frank with ourselves. Do you understand where I am? Do we get this? Okay. Let's emphasize this. God, not like the Marines, God is not looking for a few good men. Okay? He's looking for highly committed individuals who are already highly involved in a church, in a congregation, in the flock, for these individuals to step forward with a few other qualifications as well. Well, we'll talk about those in marriage and such, but for these to become the elders in the church. So with that, let's talk about some things that are very, very important having to do with one another. As far as how we think, that's going to relate to what we're talking about. There are things in what we do that's going to enter into it. There's going to be different things we will talk about over the course of time here in the next few weeks. But we're talking about what our relationship to one another truly should be. Now, maybe you're going to say to yourself, I'm a woman, I'll never be an elder. Everything I have to say to do today is going to apply to you. Or maybe you're a man that you realize it's not going to work for you to ever be an elder. These things we will be talking about are things that are for every single Christian, every one of us. But again, the impact upon the elders is huge. An elder must be someone who's practicing these things that we are looking at. First of all, matters of mind and heart. What goes into the thinking of a shepherd towards one another? Well, we come, first of all, to love. Well, we've kind of been talking about a lot about that lately, haven't we? We won't always talk about love and loving one another. We will get on to some other things that will be very important for us. But obviously, when we come to a one another attitude, we begin with this very huge statement, very huge concept that we know as love, right? Love that says, I choose to promote the needs of somebody else even over myself. I present you as more important than myself. Even though we may be equal, I present you in my own mind as more important than myself, and I will serve you accordingly. That's what love is truly all about. Well, let's look at some verses here. And I would like for us to see the emphasis on love, but I would like for us to note in a lot of these verses, something connected to the idea right here. A new commandment I give to you, Jesus said, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So, number one, we realize that Jesus wants us to have love for one another, right? We need to love one another. We know what Jesus says here, though. He says, here's the standard, as I have loved you. As I have loved you, I want you to love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. You will prove who you are by your love. Here's a good question. How do you prove that you're a disciple with other people? Here Jesus says, your love for your fellow disciples will be the proof to others that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, you'd like to be an elder someday. Where do you stand with this? Are you someone that says, someone can say about, what a great man of love that man is. What passionate love he has for his fellow disciples. Are you someone that's invested in the lives of others? Are you someone looking to the needs of others and trying to help others in their needs? This is what Jesus is talking about. And this is what every single one of us needs to be doing. But let's say this, if you're not doing that, don't present yourself as someone that should be a shepherd in the church of the Lord, okay? You may be a good guy, and you have a growing faith, but if you're not doing this, you're not here yet, okay? How much love do you really have for the saints? So Jesus says, as I have loved you, there's the standard. It's a very rich and very deep volume of love. This is what you need to be doing for each other. You mean, as Jesus was on the cross, that we would serve each other? As Jesus was invested in my life, we should be invested in each other's lives? That's exactly right. We continue on to John 15 and verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus makes it a matter of commandment, doesn't he? Repent and be baptized. Love one another. That all goes together, doesn't it? God says, this is what I want in your life. Romans 12 verse 10. We should have a brotherly love one for another. And again, the Apostle Paul here being, very, very frank, Paul was very big about trying to emphasize the attitude that we need to have in this relationship. And your lives need to be filled with a fraternal love one for another. Okay? Brotherly love. We need to have a sense that says, you are my family. And if you don't have this and you'd like to be an elder someday, don't become an elder. Forget it. If you don't look at this flock and say, this is my family, don't become an elder here. Does everybody see that and agree with that? Okay. If you live your own life and you're a good person and you have faith and you do many things that God wants you to be and to do, but you don't see and feel that you have a spiritual family and you're not invested in the spiritual family, then you shouldn't be an elder and a leader here. Okay? Just keep growing. And you can grow to this point. You can get there. But realize this is what God wants you to be, and now make it happen. All right? Over the course of the next weeks, months, and years in your life, make that happen. But Jesus says here through Paul, I want you to have this strong sense of family love one with another. And many of us are very appreciative of the fact that we have a spiritual family in view of what's going on with our physical family, right? How many here are kind of remote from your physical family? You know, they've kind of gone the way of the world. You're not as close to your physical family as you thought that you would be. And maybe things are sterile or dried out, and different principles have taken you in different directions. It's a beautiful thing here that we have a spiritual family. Every one of us needs to count this as a blessing. You know what? Everybody here is spiritual family. If you remember this flock and you're a Christian, every one of us is spiritual family. That means that you should be able to come to me and I'm going to see you as a brother and a sister. Okay? That means I'm going to listen to what's going on in your life. I'm going to care. I'll save that. We're going to come back to that. But I'm going to be concerned about what's going on in your life because who are you? You are my family. All right? I'd like to encourage every one of us to really build this sense of family. Don't see the church as the remote outpost which you attend once a week. You know, don't see the church as the spiritual club in which I engage once a week and then I go my way. I would like to encourage you to become truly involved in your spiritual family. What do you do with family? Aren't you into their lives? Doesn't it matter to you when you have family? What's going on with the people in your family? I want to encourage every single one of us, if you're thinking about becoming an elder or not, every single one of us to have this sort of fraternal family attitude towards one another and invest yourself in the lives of each other. I'm still learning names here, of course. It's going to take a while, and I'm going to confess, it's going to take me a long time, and I'm going to love you beyond the fact that I don't know your name yet, okay? But you know, every one of us, we should know each other well, right? We should know each other, to know their names at this point. We should know each other to know what's going on in your life. We should know each other to be serving each other at this point, right? Brother McCoy's sister lost two sisters recently in death. What have you said to Brother McCoy regarding his losses? There's a good indication. Do you see yourself as family with Brother McCoy? Do you feel the losses that he has had in losing two sisters in the last few weeks? You see, this is what we're talking about. We talk about being a family and saying, I'm invested in you. Your hurts are my hurts and your joy is my joy. And we walk together in this thing and we will pull together and we will walk faithfully until the end, until we fade away out of this world. Okay? And I would say this, if you haven't talked to Brother McCoy yet, you're probably not one that should be an elder yet. I'll be real frank. If you knew that somebody in this body has lost a family member and has gone through that pain and that mourning, but you've not been someone concerned enough to go and to try to comfort that individual, already remove your name from becoming a shepherd here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if you think shepherding would be to be involved in a body and yet you're not going to even go to a brother and comfort him in his great losses that he's feeling, you don't need to be a shepherd of the Lord's church. Because God is not looking for a few good men. Okay? I'm saying this all out of love. And I know there are some great servants here. But you know, it's time for frank talk. If we're looking at an eldership, you're going to get some frank talk out of me because I want this church to go forward. I have seen elders installed as elders that should not have been elders. And I have seen things that came out of that eldership that was not a righteous and a good thing. You know what? I don't want men here that are not elders put into the eldership. And I don't think you really do either, right? And really, deep down, you don't either. And I want you to be frank with yourself, and you want yourself to be really frank. You're a good guy. You know, things are going well in your business world, and people look to you as a leader, maybe. That's not enough. We'll come back to this. That's not enough. God is looking for people who are going to have this family investment in one another and take the time, put in the heart into the family members, and truly serve one another. All right, so we'll come back to this verse again, but to one another, he says, have this very strong brotherly love. Romans 13 puts it like this. If you examine all these verses, you see their nuances. All of these verses have a little bit of different approach to them. But he says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. So here he says, here's what you owe one another. You owe each other love. Have you ever felt like what I owe that person is to get even with him? You know, what I owe that person is to insult them like they have insulted me, you know. I owe that person to tear down his reputation the way that he's torn down my reputation. That's what I owe him, right? We can feel like we owe people different things, but here's what Jesus says. Here's what you owe your brother. Love him. And he wouldn't say that. He just talk about the easy thing. If it was just the natural, you love everybody thing, you don't have to command that. Here are the difficult circumstances when you love those that are difficult to love and you realize I owe them love based upon what? It is what my Savior did for me, right? It's what Jesus did for me. My God gave me love. I owe something to others, and I will have a heart big enough that I will give myself to my brother and sister. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. And we get back to, you know, what does it take to fulfill the law? We all have our own little check boxes of what we think are important, right? And you might have little priorities of truth that you put up there, and I'm fulfilling, you know, the law of Jesus Christ. Here's what Jesus says here. He who has this love loves one another. And he's used Paul to say it, but is Jesus doing the talking? Let's remember how strong this is. You fulfill the law when you love one another, because love does so much, right? When you love one another, there's so much in that umbrella that will take you in so many different directions, right? In your service, one for another. Love is the big thing that brought Jesus Christ in all of the elements of service that he did for us. Love was the great umbrella that brought Jesus to us. And love is the great umbrella that should be there between and what we do with our fellow mankind and what we do with God also, right? Love is that great motivating factor of all things. So this is what we owe one another. And we do owe that to each other, right? I want you to walk away today saying, I owe my brother something and I forgot to pay him. I want you to walk away today saying, I love my brother and sister. And I want you to walk away today saying, I did something today to show I love my brother and sister. Right? Don't walk away today from a, you know, you might feel a sterile assembly or sterile relationships, and you haven't done something to say I love you, to show your love for one another. No, make it happen. Don't walk away today. Maybe it's not been your practice. Maybe you're a little bit uncomfortable to do that. I want to encourage you to make it happen. Start making it happen. You know, don't be in a hurry to leave the assembly. Don't be in a hurry to walk out. Seek someone today to encourage. Seek someone to get to know better. See Brother McCoy. Please encourage Brother McCoy. It's not an easy thing to lose family members like this. Show your love. Every single person here should be gathering around Brother McCoy today. Every single person. And you should be offering your love and yourself in his life. Don't walk away without doing that today. Everybody understand? Okay, it's not just a preacher up here preaching this junk, right? It's truth. It's vital. And I'm trying to teach us to be the flock that God would like us to be, not just a sterile flock that's checking off the boxes to say, I did this or that, right? So this is extremely important, extremely critical. We can get to this idea sometimes, this principle that says, you know, this love stuff, I'm just so tired about hearing about love, but we always have to come back to it because it's the substance of what we're doing. It's the great motivation as the foundation in all that we do, one for another and before our God. And this is truly what we owe our God, and it is what we owe one another. All right, 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another. Okay? Here we have the idea of loving one another, but what did you say to do? Notice that nuance there? I'm sure glad I've reached the pinnacle of love. I'm as loving as I can be now. I don't have to grow anymore in my love because I'm just so full of love. I deal with people. I'm perfect in love now. Anybody feel that way? We all know we fail in love, don't we? We all realize, you know, what a lacking we have. Well, what Paul says is here, this has to be a growing quality. Let your love increase and abound in love and to all. To one another and to all. What comes out of you? Love. I should be able to look at your face and say, man, there's love pouring out of that person. Okay? We'll talk about how that is done later. It's called service. You know, it's what we do. It is not just how you feel. You know, you can feel like you've got all the love in the world standing here, but unless you do something about it and show it, then there's really not much love there. We have to increase and abound in our love, grow in this love, and make it happen. And that's why today, latch on to somebody and try to make an impact in their heart. Try to make them stronger in Jesus, right? Don't be comfortable in your shell. Don't just sit there. Just don't stand there. Try to make an impact of Jesus Christ on somebody else. Share that love. This is what God wants this flock to be, and that's how this flock becomes very, very special. There's a lot of love here. I felt this love. I felt a lot of bond here. Man, there's just so much here. And what we need to do is to make it increase, make it abound, to be more than it's ever been before. But you, as the particular disciple, you need to look at your life and ask yourself, am I really growing in my love? Good indicator. What person here yet have you not tried to encourage and get close to and to help in their struggle in Jesus? Is there anybody here that you have not done that with? And that means you have some room for growth, right? We've all got that room. Increase and abound in love to one another. Concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I write to you, Paul says, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Now, Paul says, I have no need to write to you, and it's not to say that you have true love yet, full love. It's just that you already know it. I don't have to be telling you these things, but let me tell you these things. You need to keep growing in your love, okay? You're taught by God. Now, here's the source of it all right here. What is it that we are about the business of doing? Pleasing the Lord our God, right? That's what we're doing. Please God. What does my God teach me? Danny? Don't you know that love is to be that great big love and truth? This is the basis of your life. This is the foundation of what you're supposed to be doing. Truth. Okay. Love. Take both those. You live them. And this is who you become. You are taught by God to love one another. This is the business we are in here. The business of pleasing our God. The business of taking God and putting Him into our lives and being like our God. That's what we do. That's what we have to keep on doing. So we're taught of God. 1 Peter 1:22, beautiful passage. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently from the heart. So here we have a love one another, and he says you purified your souls in obeying the truth, but here's part of the package. Through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. You obeyed God, and here's what you immediately move into. Sincere love of the brethren. That word sincere means not a hypocrite. It's not a fake. It had to do way back when with not being a good actor. You know, if you're not a good actor, you can't act well. That's me. I can't act well. Don't be a good actor. Be the real thing. Let there be sincere love. Now, this is part of the pure factor here. This is part of coming to Jesus and having your souls purified, is you offer a pure heart in your love towards one another. Do you see that? Is this important? Fervent love, real love, not fake love, not a fake American sterile love, but the real thing. This is what I expect you to have, Peter says. Look, you came to Jesus Christ, you have the truth, it purified your soul, and that must eventuate into what you are. Purifying your souls in truth means a pure approach in what you do with one another, pure love, pure heart, loving fervently, and loving with the real thing. Okay? So, you know, we might get to the point where we say, you know, love, we're tired of all that love fluff stuff, you know, there's so much fluff talking about all this goody stuff, this lovey stuff. We're talking about some real hard issues, aren't we? We're talking about foundational things that makes a church either a good church in serving the Lord or a church that's very happy just to kind of start the motor and let it idle. Okay? Do you know what I'm saying? See how important this is? Who is it that makes the difference in all this? Getting the right preacher. That makes all the difference in the world, right? Nope, has nothing to do with it. What makes the difference? We have the right eldership. That's not it either. What makes the difference? You. You make it happen. You practice this. You become this. Okay? Well, we're out of time, so we're going to stop right there. I've realized I've been going overtime lately, and I've really become convinced I can't do that anymore. So we're going to keep things on the underside instead of the overside. But let me come down to this, if I can get there quickly enough. At least one more chart. I know you're in here somewhere. Here we go. There we go. Up, backwards. Where are you in all of this? It's talking to you. This is for you. But potential shepherds, I could get up and just talk about 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 and the qualifications. Those are samplings of a lifestyle. Those are samplings of a way of thinking. So much of what you will do will have to do with exactly what we're talking about, one another. What the Bible commands with one another is what your job is going to be. And I want to encourage you today to think about your life and to say, you know, I'm a good guy. I come to realize I'm trying to obey the Lord. I'm on the right journey. But a leader in a one another attitude, I haven't been there yet. Maybe I need to grow some more before I get there. And please don't have this mentality that says, I've never really done this, but I'll do it after I become an elder. It's not going to happen. Believe me, I will try to keep it from happening. If you are not somebody who's practicing this, I will talk to you very frankly and tell you I love you, but you really shouldn't be an elder yet. How about 2 years? Let's see in 2 years what's going to happen in your life. Let's see if you can grow in this and you'll become something, okay? Please be honest with yourself. The church of the Lord is too valuable. It's too great. Jesus died for this congregation right here. It's very important that every one of us take these responsibilities and take them to heart. And one final thought again. I'm not just talking to elders, right? I'm talking to every single one of us. Let's build what is already a good dynamic group. Let's build this into a stronger group, truly built in Jesus Christ, built in truth, and built on the love of Jesus practiced towards one another. Is this what God wants? Pray about it in your own prayers, okay? And make it happen. Join with me in prayer for a moment, if you will. Father, we do thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. We are nothing without you, and we realize this. We need you. We need you in our lives, and we need you in the church. We pray, Father, that you would be with us as we are seeking shepherds here. Father, perhaps you will provide that. Perhaps it's time, and perhaps you know it's not time. But just help us to know these things, Father. May every individual look at his own life. And, Father, may he be honest with himself. Perhaps it is time. Maybe it is not time. But Father, we pray for your will and what you desire in our lives to be present and to move us forward. And may we be found in all things, Father, obeying you and trying to do those things that will glorify you. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for your truth. And Father, may the truth operate in our lives ever to build us to be like you. Thank you for listening to us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Maybe you're ready to become a Christian. There's a baptistry right here with water in it. You can move forward by your faith. You can be baptized into Jesus. Why not use this opportunity and obey the Lord as together we stand, as we sing.